We are brought to you today by Athletic Greens AG1. This magical green powder of 75 pristinely sourced vitamins and minerals supports your gut health, immune function, and it helps with energy, recovery, focus, and even anti-aging. These are a few of the many reasons that AG1 has become a staple part of my routine. First thing every morning into a cold glass of water. AG1 saves me time and money by taking all the guesswork out of what vitamin stack I should be using to help optimize my health. So you can reclaim your health with convenient daily nutrition. It's easy. One scoop in a cup of water every day. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year's supply of immune-supporting vitamin D plus five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadman. That's athleticgreens.com/roadman to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. The link and all the details for this offer are in today's show notes. This is episode 706 of the Roadman Cycling Podcast. I want to talk about my first mountain bike race. Let's cue that intro. Welcome to the Roadman Cycling Podcast. My name is Anthony Walsh. 6 days a week, we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you on your journey towards health, happiness, and longevity. Now let's get into the show. Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. I togged out, I kitted up. It was my first ever mountain bike race. I don't know how I've gone through this much of my life, loving cycling as much as I do, putting out a daily podcast about cycling, being an owner of a mountain bike, and yes, never donned the numbers and actually got to the start line, taken the plunge and dived into a mountain bike race. Well, I had so much fun. It was motivated by, yes, fun, trying to get some variety from the road just to keep it fresh. And honestly, Leadville that I've signed up for towards the end of August is scaring the shit out of me. So I know I need to improve my skills. There's a massive, massive difference between being a skilled road rider and a skilled off-road rider. They're incomparable. And today highlighted that more than I thought it would. I got out a couple of times in the last week and I had a chance to ride the course. It's about a 40-minute ride from my house. So the course was 500 meters on basically a narrow road that was kind of cordoned off as well, split in half. So it made it two bikes wide. Then we went into single track, then a gravel climb, and then the real single track began. It was three laps in total. It took me 35 minutes-ish per lap. That finished me basically in the middle of the bunch. I finished around 29th or something. I think there was 70 starters. But a shout out, and I don't normally really do it on the podcast, a shout out to the three lads who were on the podium, Sean Lundy, Gavin Carroll, and Robert McKenna, because these boys were lapping 4 to 5 minutes faster per lap than me. It's absolutely incredible. And I know I've often, as a beginner roadie, I can distinctly remember one time as a beginner roadie standing on the side of the road. I'd been dropped from the Category 3 race and I watched the Cat 1s going past. It was like one of my first bike races when I was still actually a football player. And I watched these Cat 1s going past and their legs were shining. They were lean. There was four of them in the break. They were in formation. And the sound, the noise, the testosterone, the masculinity, I just looked at them and I thought, I will never be that. They're not from the same gene pool as me. We're cut differently. We are not the same species. And obviously, fast forward a number of years later, and I transformed and morphed and became one of those guys who's winning A1 races. So I know those sort of transformations are possible. And it does seem like a miracle when you see, you know, Tiger Woods driving the ball 350 yards straight down the fairway. You don't get to see the 10,000 balls that he shanked into the water, just shanked off the wall in the driving range. We just don't see that. So we see it as a miracle. So to the boys that are out front, I'm sure there's a lot of hard work behind that, going 5 minutes ish faster per lap. But it's exceptional, it's exquisite, and it really highlighted to me the difference in skills between me and the rest of the mountain bikers out here. It was so different, I have to say, to turning up at a road race. Even though it was close to my home and I should know the entire cycling community, I didn't. a couple of guys shout out. I heard a few, give us a shout out on the podcast. So it's a shout out to whoever that was shouting at me. I was in a fatigue-induced haze and can't remember faces or names. But yeah, I got a couple of shout outs, but mainly this wasn't my community. You know, whether I've gone to a road race in the US, Canada, France, Ireland, there's a similar vibe. Even the registration process is similar. And that familiarity, which I suppose comes from repetitions, that instantly puts me at ease, even if I'm in a different country and I don't speak the language. But I had none of that. It was such a strange experience going to a bike race, like a process I've done thousands of times before and feeling like an outsider, not because of the community. The community didn't exclude me and make me feel like an outsider. Like, they're absolutely incredible. They've got this whole vibe going on that we just don't have in road. It's ridiculous. They've got finish line gantry, music, announcers, coffee trucks. It was pure class. I felt like an outsider just because I had no idea what was going on. I got there, I was like, do I need to sign on? Like, do you sign on before the start of these races, or how does it work? Do I need a number? Does a number go on my back? Does it go on my frame? How do I attach it to my frame? Can you warm up on the course? Everything was new. I was a total tourist in your world. I got ready for the race. I rode my Factor Lando cross-country bike. Way too much bike for me. It's a Ferrari and I'm basically a Fiat Punto driver at the moment. I wore really road kit because I didn't know there's a different type of kit. I wore a road kit. Basically, I blended in, but I didn't wear sunglasses. I reasoned that they were going to bounce off my head during the race because I wrecked the course a little bit. I knew there was some real rock garden sections. In terms of tire pressure, I did research tire pressure, but I didn't research it for a rainy conditions, and it poured rain for all three laps almost. I rode 24 PSI in the front and 28 PSI in the back, and I rode 180 PSI in my rear suspension. I'm roughly 80 kilograms, and I rode 120 PSI in my front suspension. Somebody hit me up on Twitter and let me know if they are the correct PSI or where the good PSI calculator is, because I'm not going away. This is not my first. I'm not one and done in this game. I want to get better. I want to learn. I want to grow. The race start grid, it's like a cyclocross race. So everyone's in this sort of narrow corral, and then there's call-ups. And it starts off like a cyclocross race as well, because everyone wants to get into that. You know, I said there's a 500 meter sort of tarmacadam part. So you have this 500 meter tarmacadam part where it's two wide, potentially three wide, but then we get compressed into single track. So if you think about the fight for, if you're racing in Europe or you're racing anywhere, and you know you're going from a highway, which is six, seven riders wide, and then you're going to a narrow little country road or you're going to a cobble street, you have this compression, and that compression causes this elastication effect. And if you're not in the front, it is impossible on single track to pass somebody. It's also very difficult to get past. I did get past quite a few times on the downhills, but lads really risked all to go past. It is super difficult to pass or be passed. So lessons learned, I suppose, looking back on it only yesterday and having this sort of benefit of, you know, a night's sleep and a little bit less cognitive fatigue. My arms and shoulders and hands are still killing me though. I felt like I've been at the climbing wall for the day. The start is super, super important. The race, I don't want to say it's won and lost on the start, because you need to have all the other pieces that I'm still missing. You need to have the skills. You need to be able to hone your craft, line choice, equipment choice. But the start, if you don't start well, you can lose it. So the old cliche is you can't win it at the start, but you can lose it at the start. You can definitely lose your race at the start. So it's important to be super well warmed up, which I wasn't really warmed up. It's also really difficult to eat or drink on the course. So if you're thinking about having a bar that you need to unwrap and eat, that's going to take you a while, impossible. Best you can do is probably a gel. And you're looking at not eating on a time schedule or not eating when you're hungry, but eating when the course dictates it and allows it. A lot of riders didn't have water bottles with them. Didn't really understand it at the start. I'm like, how can you race for almost 2 hours without having a drink? At the end, I totally understood, because I carried a 700ml water bottle with me and I did not have one sip of water for the entire race. Course knowledge is absolutely key. Although I had ridden the course a few times during the week, you need to practice hot laps. You need to be practicing race pace efforts on it, because the bike rides very different. The terrain rides very different when you're going through at 50%, when you're going through at 80%, and when you're going through at 100%. Also, it is possible to absolutely bury yourself on the uphill. Like on a road race, you can't bury yourself fully on the uphill because there's a good chance somebody is going to accelerate over the crest of the hill. And if you've buried yourself, you're going to lose that wheel and then you're put in a difficult position. But you can absolutely leave it all out on an uphill section because you're going into a single trail and it is really difficult to get past in the single trail. So you have a small bit of time to get your breath and then you can get into your flow. My skills got worse as the race went on. That concentration levels dipped. I just wasn't used to having to make these 1,000 calculations a second that you're making mountain biking as opposed to road riding. Like on the road, we're kind of looking at who's around. You're looking at some line. You're looking at, you know, a couple of different things like surface, camber. But on mountain biking, it's like that on crack. There's 1,000 things going on. There's stones coming at you in every direction. There's water, there's tree trunks, there's branches, there's trees. It's chaos. I had no crashes, but I had a couple of close calls. I'm not sure if the concentration levels dipping was a function of me not eating during the race and less glycogen going to my brain or just decision-making fatigue. I wasn't used to making this many decisions over a 2-hour period. That was definitely something I noticed. And if I was pushing near the front of the race, caveat, I was a long way off that, but if I was pushing near the front of the race and on the rivet, I don't think that would have helped again, and I would have been maybe in danger of crashing. The biggest problem I had was I was bottoming out, and this was a setup issue from me, no doubt. I was touching my pedals, like the normal places where I would get back on the power out of the corner, I was touching my pedal on the ground. Also, coming across some of the rockier garden sections, when I had my pedals fairly level, I was still touching my pedals. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on why this was. I'm guessing it's too little PSI in my rear suspension, or is it potentially that I'm riding in a non-locked out mode too often? I don't know. Some mountain biker hit me up and let me know that. But I think all in all, if you're considering doing a mountain bike race for the first time, I honestly couldn't recommend it enough. I can't remember the last time I had so much fun with my clothes on. I had the biggest smile on my face all the way around. And I know Sarah is really tempted to do a mountain bike race. She was out with the dogs today, shouting on the sidelines. I would say that spending time riding your mountain bike on the trails full gas is a good idea before diving straight into a mountain bike race. If you're someone who's nervous and you don't have brilliant skills, someone coming hurtling down behind you and looking for ways to pass you on the single trail, that's going to put the shits up you. You can get an awful lot of benefit out of time on trail, and I just don't have enough time on trail at the moment. I'm definitely going to be back racing, but I'm going to make a conscious effort to spend more time on trail, because just understanding the lines, understanding where the limit is, that's going to help so much. Also, get a mountain bike specific skills coach. This is different to the physiological adaptations you're going to get from riding your watt bike indoors, doing your intervals outdoors. I'm talking lines, skills. It's so important. It's, I would say, 80% of the game in mountain biking. This is something I'm going to start next week. I know I've just started mountain biking. You're like, what are you getting a skills coach for? But I am keen to push on. I am keen to not kill myself in Leadville towards the end of the season. And I don't want to waste my time making a load of mistakes. So that's why I'm diving in and making the plunge with that. I'm definitely going to be back on the mountain bike scene. If anyone is listening to this and you raced and thinking, is he coming back again or is that it? I did feel bad for a few lads that got caught behind me at times because I had that horrible combination of I was fast and fit, obviously, from the road when I was riding single track or uphills. But then I'd get to the downhill and the guys behind who I'd passed on the fire roads were just putting pressure on me on the downhills to the point that I had to let one or two of them pass. Like I'd pass them again on the next uphill and then they'd have to risk life and limb to try and pass me again on the downhill. So sorry about that, lads. I still absolutely love road racing. I love gravel riding. But if you want to laugh and you want to smile all day, please get your mountain bike out, dust it down and get out on the trails and give racing a try. I absolutely loved every minute of it and I'm hooked. Roadman, thanks for tuning in. Ride safe and I'm going to chat to you again tomorrow.